God bless you, worship team. Well, Pastor Josh just stole my message this morning. He illustrated it very well. All I can say is that's confirmation for me, and it's a double word from the Lord for you this morning. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so thank you. You just set that up very, very well for me here. Because the message that I want to bring to you today, I believe, is a prophetic message. I believe it's a message for you as individuals. I believe it's a message for our church. It's a vision that the Lord has given me. I'm sorry they had to cancel our candlelight service, but as I was preparing that message, this message kept coming to me that I needed to share these thoughts with you today, this Sunday morning. And so that's what I'm going to endeavor to do. And let's just begin by softening our hearts before the Lord and letting him speak to us. Father, we come to you today. We want to hear a word from you. Lord, these times in which we live, we need a word for this day. We need a word for these times. And Lord, I thank you that you have established your church, you're building your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of that here in Wilson. Even though we have people that from other areas, Lord, I thank you that you have sent us here as a base, as kind of an army base, a place where believers can gather together and support one another, strengthen one another, to encourage one another, provoke one another to love and good works. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us today as individuals and also as a church. Lord, that we would see the purposes and the vision that you have for us. Lord, and we would not shy away from that, but like Mary, we would say, we are your servants. Be it unto me according to your will and according to your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Loomis was at the hospital where he practiced. The room that he was in was like a makeshift chapel. It was the only time of the year that the hospital did anything remotely religious. On the stage were three musicians. One was a beautiful young girl, masterfully bringing deep, joyous tones out of a cello. He was moved. The nurses filed in with their caps and gowns, carrying candles. But it seemed to him as soon as the service began, it was over. In front of him was a little grain woman. She turned to him and with great excitement, she said, "Doctor, did you see her? Did you see her? Did you see her, doctor? Did you see the little girl that I brought into the world with your help? Did you see her?" He said it took a moment, but it all came back to me. She had been referred to me about 20 years before. She had a history of complications in her pregnancies, and sure enough, this pregnancy was not going to be easy. He coached her and worked with her and brought the baby to full term. It was the first time she had ever been able to bring a baby to full term. All of the others she had miscarried. But when the baby came, the baby was breech. The problem with a breech birth, as you know, is when the head is pressed up against the cervix, the umbilical cord is cramped, and sometimes the oxygen doesn't get to the brain and there's the possibility of brain damage. But before that happened, the body of the child broke from the womb of that mother and something strange happened. He waited for the legs to pop free, but one came sooner than expected, only it wasn't a leg. It was a stump of a leg. And where a knee should have been, there was a foot. It was a curious deformity. And the doctor quickly covered it. Holding the bottom of the baby, the doctor said he entered into the conscience struggle of his career. He reasoned, a woman with a history of complications like this woman has had And given the severity of this deformity, there are probably other deformities. And he thought, the best thing I could do is hold up the exit of this child from the womb. Just stop it in the birth canal. It'll be hard for her. She will be told that she gave birth to a stillborn. She will go through a depression, but she will get over it. But if I don't do that, she could be stuck with a crippled, a severely deformed child for the rest of her life. It would be a burden too great for her to bear. He made up his mind that it was exactly what he was going to do. He held up the body of this child, but then a strange thing happened underneath the towel that he had used to cover up that stump of a leg with. It was as if the child knew what he was trying to do. And pow, right in the palm of his hand, that little heel kicked. Pow, again, right in the middle of his palm, that heel kicked. It was as if the child was saying, "Don't do this. Let me out of here. You don't have the right to do this. I'm stronger than you think I am. This is not your decision. What are you doing, doctor? What are you doing?" He said it shocked him into reality. He brought the body of the child down. Out popped the head. He pointed out the deformity to the nurse, and he said, "We cut the cord, and they whisked the baby away." We let the mother revel in the fact that she had given birth for the first time. We would let her face the deformity later. The doctor said, "I had lost track of her. I knew there would be all kinds of operations, the fitting of a prosthesis and all of those things. I lost track of her, and now here she is 20 years later. Did you see her, doctor? The child that you helped me bring into the world, did you see her? Now standing beside this little gray and wrinkled woman was the beautiful girl that had been playing that cello. She was absolutely gorgeous. You see, doctor, she couldn't run and play like the rest of the kids. But then we learned that she was so good with her hands and so gifted. She's going to the university on a scholarship, doctor. She's going to be a professional musician. Oh, I'm so proud of her, doctor. I am so proud." Dr. Loomis looked at that girl and he said, "Would you play something for me?" She returned to her instrument and began to play the music to that old hymn, "Amazing Grace." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He said the tears were trickling down his face and dripping off his chin, because only God and he knew how close he had come to snuffing out this life. It's not a message on the sanctity of life today, but it is a message on the power of Christmas. And I'll explain as we go along. Because Christmas is not just what happened 2,000 years ago. The real question is, what can God do with one person, one life, totally and completely dedicated to him? And if God brings in a child into the world, even one with deformities, if that child commits its life, his life, her life, to God, what can God do with such a life? If Jesus had not come into the world, what would this world be like? You think about the number of hospitals, the number of orphanages, all the feeding ministries. These were started in the name of Jesus. This very nation, in the year that Columbus discovered America, 1492, this nation was at that time dedicated to God. Listen to me, church, this morning. This nation was claimed by God. God had purposes for this nation. You think about how this nation has been responsible for the translation of the Bible in many languages. You think about the number of nations that have become civilized because of American influence. Our very form of government comes out of the Bible. God bound himself together with people through a covenant government, and not by a king, but he bound himself to the people at Mount Sinai. And America formed its own government according to those principles. God changed the world because one man came and lived and died and gave his life on this earth, but rose again from the dead, and today is exalted and sits at the right hand of the Father, and his name is Jesus. That was the first incarnation, but the second incarnation is that Jesus comes again by the person of the Holy Spirit, not simply to be with us, but to be in us. And he says, greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father. I believe that God is still wanting to change the world, and God is wanting to imprint his glory because Jesus Christ is working in our lives. What difference would your life make if you were totally and completely surrendered to God? Now, I realize today that this is a radical message. This is really the radical message of Christmas. We are rapidly losing the meaning of life in our culture. But not only does this life have meaning now, but our life has meaning for the world to come. And there are rewards that you are going to receive based upon your faithfulness in this life. It isn't over when the world says it's over. It's just beginning, because death is a portal in which we step into the presence of God. But even now, we can experience the incredible grace of God as we yield ourselves to him. So I'm going to go back and I want to look at that announcement that angel came and gave to Mary. And I want us to take our preconceived ideas of the birth of Jesus and just kind of set them aside. Don't look at through the lens that we normally would. Take those away and let's look. Let's look at this perhaps in a different way this morning. Here we are. We are in Nazareth. And here is what the Bible says. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. It's kind of an out-of-the-way little town tucked away in a small valley. Not a place of very much significance at all. The scripture goes on to say, and having come in without ringing the doorbell, that's in the Greek. No, not really. But the angel just comes in and he appears to Mary. And what does he say to her? He says, rejoice. That word means to cheer up. Cheer up, Mary. And the second thing the angel says is, you are highly favored. Literally, you are greatly graced. So cheer up, Mary, because you have found favor in God's eyes. You are greatly graced. Grace is coming your way. And then the third thing the angel says is, the Lord is with you. The fourth thing the angel says to Mary is that you are blessed among women. That is, there is a blessing that is picked out for you that nobody else is going to be able to receive. This blessing has your name on it and your name only. Now, I just want to take these four things and I want to lay them out one more time, because I believe that this is God's word to you this morning. Okay? This is God's word for some of you in particular, perhaps all of us. Cheer up. Cheer up because you are highly favored. God's grace is coming your way. The Lord is with you, and there is a blessing reserved for your life that has your name on it and nobody else's name. There is a purpose, there is a destiny, there is a mission for you that God wants you to accomplish, and it is unlike what he has given to anybody else. That's really powerful stuff, right? This is good stuff. But then there's seven other things the angel ticks off. The first thing is Mary sees the angel, but she is troubled. She says, what kind of greeting is this? The angel says, well, stay cool, Mary, because you have found favor with God. Mary, this is a good thing. But then the angel begins with what's going to happen. You're going to conceive within your womb. The child is going to be a boy. when he is born, you are going to name him Jesus. He is going to be the Son of the Highest, meaning he's going to be the Son of God. The Lord will restore to him the throne of his father David. His kingdom is coming back. I mean, this is really getting good, right? This was the heartbeat. Really, this was the desire of every Jew who lived in Palestine at that time. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and he will reign, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, we know that Mary heard every word of that, because no way would Luke have known what to write had not Mary told him. So Mary told Luke exactly what the angel said. But let me tell you what else Mary heard. How can this be, since I am a virgin? Yeah, Pastor Jeff, she didn't get the picture right away. She's looking at another picture. How can this be? Did you say pregnant? Me? Are you sure you have the right address? You know, what address do you have on that telegram anyway? Who are you looking for? This is wonderful stuff. It's all laid out for her. But what does she hear? She hears the impossibility of having a baby. And today I want to share with you the bitterness of being chosen by God, of being greatly graced, of being highly favored. Because for Mary, everything begins to fall apart at this time. Joe didn't understand. I mean, how could he? He was thinking about divorcing her, even though they weren't married, they were engaged in those period time. A betrothal was a legal binding covenant. But he thought of divorcing her at this time because he didn't understand. And he would have had not the angel intervened. Let me tell you that Mary did not have to go to Bethlehem. Joseph had to go, but she didn't. The fact that she went tells me that she had lost her support system. Sometimes God doesn't protect your vulnerability, at least not the way we think that he should. The people that were your friends sometimes become your enemies. And sometimes they just sit back and look and wonder what's happening and how is it going to all play out. You think about this lady, ladies, a trip on a donkey during the third trimester of pregnancy is God's will for your life. You know, the shortest route was 90 miles. How would you like to ride 90 miles on a donkey being great with child? See, sometimes we think if this is God's will, then everything's turning up roses. But I'll tell you that is not always true in the process. Sometimes the will of God tastes bitter. And when the people finally get to Bethlehem, the Holiday Inn is full, and so is every other motel in town. You see, what's happening is they are backing into the will of God. God is moving and directing their lives sovereignly. And sometimes, honestly, that is what we do. I know that's been true in my life. I try to follow God. I try to do my best, but I stumble. And I'm clumsily following him. And there are times when I feel like I am stuck in Bethlehem. When God moves in your life, you don't always understand what's going on. And sometimes you are in a lonely stable giving birth to the plan of God. And when you are giving birth to the plan of God, sometimes there is loneliness and pain. I mean, you think about this. The shepherds saw the angels. The shepherds heard the music. But there was no angels in the stable. There was no heavenly choir singing in the stable. At least not in the physical realm. We sometimes hear testimonies from others about the incredible things that they are seeing and they are hearing. And sometimes we don't hear, we don't see that. But the truth is that we are right in the heart of the will of God. You think about giving birth. Giving birth is not an easy thing. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it, of course, but I've been there with my wife. I've I've heard testimonies. I've had daughter-in-laws and daughters that have gone through it. And it can be a rough experience. And I'm telling you this today, church, that when you give birth to the purposes of God, sometimes it is a lonely experience. Sometimes it's a painful experience. And we think, why is this happening? It's because God is doing something great in your life. God is birthing something new. We are just so close to the situation that we can't see. We can't understand what God is up to. And only in the future will we look back and say, God was in our Bethlehem moments. I've seen my wife deliver babies, and I've seen the pain that she has had as she delivered. But you know what? When that child is born, when that baby is born, and the doctor lays that child across her chest, she has already forgotten all the pain because of the joy of holding that child in her arms. And I just want to be realistic with you. When God gives you a vision, when God wants to birth something in your life, there's loneliness and pain, but I'm telling you, it is worth it in the end. You forget all of that struggle because of the glory of what God has brought forth, the fruit that he has brought forth in your life. And I say that today because perhaps today you are giving birth to something and you're feeling pain and you're feeling loneliness and everybody around you is singing Christmas carols. It's like they're seeing angels and they're hearing all of these wondrous things and you're wondering, why am I stuck in this position? What's wrong with me? Did I miss God? No, you didn't miss God at all. You are birthing something very special for the kingdom of God. And I want you to know that God is in your Bethlehem moments. But you think about the pain in Mary's life. This woman lived a life of pain. She kept and pondered those things in her heart that the shepherds had told her. But somewhere along the line, she lost her husband. Joseph died. Somewhere along the line, before Jesus took over his ministry at the age of 30, he had lost his earthly father. Mary had lost her confidence. She had lost the love of her life. And her heart was filled with pain. Try to think, mothers, of what it would be like to see your child suffer and die on a cross. Mary had experienced all this bitterness, all this pain and confusion. I mean, what she is experiencing is not at all what the angel said was promised to her. Because sometimes the vision that we hear from God takes a while to play out. And in that process of birthing it, we lose sight of the final picture. And you can think about Mary's confusion in the light of that cross. And sometimes you can get a word from the Lord so tightly, you hang on to it so tightly that you squeeze the life out of it. You're like, the pen won't work. Because you're squeezing it, you're holding it too tight. Sometimes you put your own interpretation on the word and you live by your interpretation of the word and not the word itself. But we see through a glass darkly. I know what that angel said is not turning out right. Sometimes there might have been somebody there who told Mary, "Mary, you were mistaken. That prophetic word to you, that was not from the Lord. That wasn't true prophecy because it hasn't come to pass the way the angel said it would." And maybe there's some things in your life that haven't come to pass the way you thought that they would. I want to tell you today, someday, it's going to all make sense. Here is Mary, she's in the upper room. Peter gets up to speak. He begins to explain that the coming of the Holy Spirit is proof that Jesus is alive. He is not dead. He is sitting on a throne, not in earth, but in heaven. He is king. And Peter says that he has shed forth both now what you see and hear. It all makes sense now, and Mary begins to understand. But I want you to know, if you're going to be used of God in any significant way, If you are going to come into the favor of God, the grace of God, walk in the presence of God, and give birth to the purposes of God, you are going to have to learn how to endure your Bethlehems. You're going to have to learn how to do it. It's easy to sing this morning, take my life and let it be. But we really realize what might happen as we give birth to that. As we are in Bethlehem giving birth to the purposes of God, and we have to endure some things, I'm just preparing you. Because I believe with all my heart this morning that God has something for each and every one of you. And God has something for this church. And God has purposes, and God has a plan for this church. And we are going to give birth to incredible things. But I want to prepare you for the Bethlehems. Because there's pain and delivery. The joy beyond it is extraordinary. But there is pain often in the process. So I just want to be upfront with you on that. I love what Elizabeth Browning says. She says, "Earth is crammed with heaven and every common bush is afire. Only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries and dab their faces unaware." Earth is crammed with heaven. In other words, God is everywhere. The glory of God is everywhere. But not everyone sees it. Some just see it as a bush with blackberries, and others see the glory of God. If we had been there with Moses in the burning bush, Moses saw the bush was on fire and it was not consumed. Did you know that there are others who would just see a bush? When we look around, we need to look and discover the grace of God. The bush is on fire. God is everywhere. And we need to have spiritual eyes to be able to see him. The thing that will help you to survive is being able to see beyond the natural into the realm of the spirit. Remember, Jesus told Nicodemus that when he was born again, he would see the kingdom of heaven. He meant that when you are born again, another set of eyes will open and you will see a world that you don't know. You will see a world that you didn't see before. It's a world where there are angels. It's a world where there are demons. It's a world where the wind of the Spirit blows, but it's also a world in which a crosswind blows. But you need to be able to see with a spiritual dimension. What would Bethlehem look like in the natural? Well, we come to this stable. I think it was pretty dark and depressing and dismal. A place maybe lit with a single candle. If you had heard in the natural, you might have heard mice scurrying about. You might have heard the gnawing of goats and the mooing of cows. You might have heard the groaning of a woman in labor. But if you had seen in the spirit, there would be angels in that place. If you could have seen in the spirit, it was alive with the shining glory of God. If you could have seen in the spirit, the Father was standing at the balcony of heaven, a proud Father, just like any earthly father, smiling at the birth of his Son. If you could have heard in the Spirit, you would have heard him say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you could have heard in the Spirit, you would have heard angels singing. See, you cannot go by what you see and hear in the natural unless you develop spiritual eyes to see the unseen world and the working of God around you. I'll be honest with you, Bethlehems will crush you, and you will never give birth to the purposes God has for your life. In the natural, Jesus looks like any other baby, but he is not. He is the Son of God. In the natural, he looks rather mortal, but he is not. He is immortal. In the natural, we call him Jesus, but he is not just Jesus. He is Savior. He is Christos. He is the anointed one. He is the Lord God himself. Listen to him coo, but that voice will someday calm the waters and quiet the winds. That voice will someday raise the dead. That voice will say, Lazarus, come forth, and he will come forth alive out of that grave. He looks like a lamb, but he is not just merely a lamb. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will grow up to be a carpenter, yes, and he will build a church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But you have to look beyond the natural to the spiritual when you are stuck in your Bethlehem, when you are experiencing pain and loneliness in life. You have to look beyond the natural. You have to look to the spiritual. You have to say, God, would you open my spiritual eyes so that I will not see these things in the physical realm that would bring me down, but you would let me see with spiritual eyes that what you are doing in your kingdom, that I may glorify you and exalt you with my life. You have no idea what God is doing in your life. You have absolutely none. You have no idea that God wants to come over and brood with his Spirit, Holy Spirit, over you. He wants to brood over you and conceive in you the purposes of God that he has for your life. You have no idea this morning how highly favored you are, how greatly graced you are by God. You have no idea the things that God has prepared for you. And so I would encourage you in the days ahead, in the weeks, months to come, I've got some things that are laid in my heart. I just want to come together and I want to dream. I want to dream. What can God do with us? And just begin to let God bring those dreams to reality in our life. Let God birth something in our life that is going to do a work for his kingdom that will be an eternal work. I know what some of you are thinking, I'm too old. But do you know that you have something inside of you that is ageless? Do you know that your spirit is ageless? It never dies. You still have a spirit, you just wish you still had the body you used to have. And you wish you had the energy that you used to have. But you still have a purpose. You still, I don't care what your age is, if you are still here, you have a purpose. And you can give birth to something that nobody else can give birth to. And it doesn't matter how old you are. And I think that's why God gave us examples in the Bible of Abraham and Sarah, and Zacharias and Elizabeth, and Simeon and Anna. You know, when you think about it, there are certain moments come into our life to define us. And I think, honestly, those defining moments for many of us are still ahead of us. You say, well, Pastor, how am I going to recognize that defining moment when it comes? It will happen when you just do what you know to do is right. When you just do what you know is the right thing to do, those moments that define you, you will be successful at. A one-eyed man by the name of Seymour couldn't be admitted to Bible classes because of the color of his skin. But he refused to be bitter about it. He sat outside the window or outside the door to listen to the best he could. But you know, if you draw a line of exclusion like that, God crosses the line to the other side. And God favored, greatly graced William Seymour. He went to California. He ended up on Azusa Street. You might have heard of that street. If you're Pentecostal, you probably have. The building had been used as a stable. Seriously, it was a stable. So here we are at the stable again. Simple people came together, and on the morning of the San Francisco earthquake, Los Angeles woke up to front page news about what was happening in Visitation on God on Azusa Street. That revival spread around the world. It swept 20 million people into the kingdom of God in America alone. Nobody knows the total impact that revival had on America or the world. But you know what? It started with a simple one-eyed black man who had a hunger for God. Amen. Everyone else had written him off because of his lack of education, because of his lack of training. But God looked down and said, "You are greatly graced. You are highly favored." And Mary agreed with the angel in her spirit, who said, "Nothing is impossible with God." We need to agree with God. God, with you, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Here's what I do sometimes. I take God-sized visions and trim them down to man-sized, doable things. But when you trim God's vision down to something that you can do, you make a terrible mistake. Abraham and Sarah tried to do that. They tried to trim God's vision down into something that they could accomplish. They substituted something over what God could give them, and it was a mistake. With God, nothing is impossible. Don't take God's visions and trim them down to something that you can do in your own strength and power. Don't ever do that. If you pull back or even try to help God out rather than let him do his word through you, you make a terrible mistake. You know, Bach used to cite his compositions two ways. If he had fussed over it, it wasn't just right, if he thought it was too wonderful, he couldn't improve on them anymore. So he'd set the ones where, and he's just, "I tried, I did my best, but this just not coming out the way I want." Or these compositions are tremendous. I got these just right. The good ones, he would sign SDG, which meant "To God be the glory." But the other ones that he couldn't just get right, he signed them JJ, which meant "Jesus, help me." The experts tell us that some of his JJs are actually better than his SDGs. Here's my point. You can't grade yourself. You can't do it. There have been sermons that I thought, but just, "Oh man, this is great stuff." Nothing. Just blew a lot of hot air that day. There are other sermons that I thought, "Boy, I just really flopped on that one." And some of those are times people have come up to me and said, "Pastor, that sermon really ministered today." You can't grade yourself. You can't always know when God is using you. You can't always understand how brilliantly and gloriously his grace is flowing through you. You just can't know. Former Vice President Joe Biden recently said, "Our darkest days in the battle against COVID are ahead of us, not behind us." The sin of man, the rebellion of man is escalating. 2 Timothy chapter 3, along with 2 Peter 2 and 3, tell us that perilous times, deception, and false teaching would be on the increase in the last days. Scripture also tells us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. What was it like in those days? In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 answers that. "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was continually only evil." Romans 1:21 says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him or give thanks to him as God, but became futile in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. John 3:19, "This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Can you imagine that? People loving darkness more than light. But they do, because their deeds are evil and light exposes them. And so they'd rather live in darkness. Now you can look at the world the way Joe Biden is. These are dark days and getting darker. Or you can look with spiritual eyes and say, the light of the world has come. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him, and without him nothing was created that was created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came as a witness in order to testify concerning the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not this light, but was sent in order to testify concerning the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, yet, or but to all who received him, he gave the power, he gave the right to become the children, the sons, the daughters of God. To those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you been born again? If you have not been born again, this is where you need to start today. God has gone through the birth process to make that possible for you to be born again. Jesus Christ came to this world, lived a sinless life, died upon a cross, was buried, but 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he offers forgiveness of sin and eternal life to all who would come and put their faith and their trust in him. Have you done that? If you have not done that, you can do that this morning. Even right where you are sitting, right where you're at today, just receive Jesus, and he will give you that incredible privilege of being born into the greatest family, the family of God. But church, you are highly favored, and great grace is coming your way. The Lord is with you, and there is a blessing reserved for your life that has your name on it and nobody else's. Nobody else's name. There is a purpose, there is a destiny, there is a mission for you that God wants you to accomplish that is unlike what he has for anybody else. You are unique. You are unique. Now, I'm going to warn you that that birth process may be sometimes sorrowful and painful, but if you would submit to God's will for your life, and if you would be what God wants you to be, the end result of that is incredible blessing, not only in this life, but more so in the life to come. So this is a vision that I believe that God has for us. We are going to see incredible things. I've been talking with some. I've preached on spiritual gifts. We're going to really hit the nail with those. One of the things that I've wanted to do for a long time is have a group of people gather together, each one with their own spiritual gifts, so that they're all represented in the body of Christ, and just sit there and dream about what God wants us to do, to let God birth a vision in us of what he wants to accomplish in our lives. God has shared with others, even years ago, the things that he wants to do in this day. And I can promise you this. When I preach, when I get before God to get a message, I will ask him to give me a message that is relevant for our day. I still want to preach through the Word. I want to take our Word, the Word of God, and make it relevant for us today. Because God's Word is eternal, amen? It doesn't change, but it also is uniquely tailored to meet each particular need throughout history. But you are highly favored. You are great graced. Could you just say to the Lord today, Lord, be it to me unto me according as your word has said. And don't go into it blindly. Don't go into it thinking that life is going to be all roses, peaches, and cream. But go into it and say, Lord, I can't think really. Even though times might be difficult for me, I can't think of a better place to be than in the center of your will. And I want you to be encouraged today. If you're here and you are, as Pastor Josh was talking about, if you're here and you're in a dark space and the picture is not being drawn out the way you think it should be planned, that's an excellent illustration. Give God that pen and let him finish it. Because the truth is, it's not finished yet. I remember we took a chalk class. We chalk drawings, and then the artist was drawing a picture of a stormy sea. And with just a couple of swipes with a piece of chalk, was able to turn that calmy sea into a perfectly calm sea. God will do that in your life if you let him have the pen, if you let him have the chalk. The final picture of your life is not drawn yet. You just need to trust God with the rest of it. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Just remind you again that you are highly favored. You say, me? Yes, you. You are highly favored. God's grace is coming your way. The Lord is with you, and there is a blessing reserved for your life that has your name on it. There's a purpose, a destiny, and a mission that God wants you to give birth to. He wants you to give birth to it. Are you willing to do that? Because honestly, you can say no. You can say no. But I tell you, you don't want to. You don't want to. Would you say yes to God today? Father, today I pray for any who might be listening to this message that have not received Jesus as their Savior. Lord, that they have not experienced that incredible new birth, like you talked about to Nicodemus. And because of that, they can't see your kingdom. They can't see in the spiritual. Lord, I pray that they would be born again so that their eyes would be opened and they could see the reality of the unseen world, which is just as real, if not more real, than this physical world in which we see. I pray today, Lord, that you would give within all of us believers the boldness and the faith to believe for the impossible. And I pray, Lord, that when we are tempted to take matters into our own hands, we would back off. And we would say, Lord, with men this is impossible, but with you, all things are possible. And I believe you, and I trust you. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bind this church together. I thank you for people that you are bringing here. I believe that you are bringing here for a purpose. You are establishing us to give birth to something. Lord, and all of these people are a part of that. And I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be a support system for one another. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One last word before we sing. That is so important that you have a support system. And could I just encourage you that if somebody comes to you and say, I believe this is what God wants to birth in my life, that you would get on board with them and that you would encourage them and not turn them away, not say, I don't think you've heard from God, I think you've missed it, but you say, no, you know what? I'm going to be here with you. And I'll be there when you give birth. I know there's times when it might be lonely, it might be painful, but I want to come alongside of you and help you in this. This is what we need. You know what that the Holy Spirit is the helper? You know what that word means? It means to come alongside and help. And if the Holy Spirit is in us, then we need to come alongside and we need to help each other. That no one would feel that they are going through this life and carrying these burdens and birthing these visions alone. All right? Let's be there for each other. What do you got to sing? Did you pick something out? Sounds great. Could we stand? Show you there's one thing that you need more than any other thing in 2021. So come next week, you'll find out what that one thing is, unless the Lord changes. I was going to preach on the culture war this morning, but God just laid this message on my heart. I just want to thank you for being here today. So God bless you. You're dismissed.
Maverick is here too.
Oh, Maverick is here now. Let's sing happy birthday to Maverick.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear, bless you. Happy birthday to you. That was awesome. Hold on. You're good.